Thank you, President Crist, so much. The Board of Trustees, distinguished alumni, my fellow honorary degree recipients, who I am so proud to be in the company of. We have an architect and a climate scientist, a writer. I get to talk because I'm on Glee. What a world we live in. Parents and friends, and of course, all of you, the Smith College class of 2012. You, ladies, are about to receive a piece of paper that proves to the world you are now fit to join the ranks of an elite and tremendously powerful group of game-changing women. The Smith class of 2012. Smith women have transformed cuisine, spearheaded social movements, created great literature, and in the case of my friend Piper, class of 92, even gone to prison. But damn it, when a Smithy goes to prison, she writes a clever and compelling book about it. Just know, the fact that you sit here in a chair assigned to you, with your bright, shiny faces, looking gorgeous in your caps and gowns, just know, you're welcome. You've actually done far more than I was able to accomplish back on my college graduation day back in 1982. As a young person, I was a victim of overwhelming angst and free-floating anxiety. I spent a great deal of my time running around like a chicken with its head cut off. This ongoing frenzy caused me to send in my graduation registration without a stamp or a return address. After my four mostly unfocused years as a solid C student at Illinois State University, thank you, go Big Red, in the aptly named Normal, Illinois, I sat where you now sit, hoping to God my name would be called and I would receive my diploma. I realized my postal boo-boo just as the envelope left my hand and dropped into the mailbox. And instead of figuring out a way to remedy this, I did what I have always done when I lack forethought and impulse control. I crossed my fingers and I hoped for the best. With my entire family out there in the audience, wearing a cap and gown that I swiped when no one was looking, sitting in a chair that I was sharing with my good friend Jeannie Mahoney, I held my breath and prayed to hear my name. They finished with the L's and were on to the M's when my heart sank. As Jeannie took her diploma from our dean, she whispered in his ear that my name had been left out. Gratefully, he called mine after hers. Of course, he didn't have a diploma for me, but he did shake my hand, and my parents sitting way back were none the wiser. Now, I know that none of you would have been so scattered and focused leading up to this day because you are the Smith College class of 2012. You are exceptional women. If you were not an exceptional woman, you would not be here today. I feel I know quite a bit about Smith women because I married one. I know from living with Lara, class of 91, and loving Lara, class of 91, that the experience of attending this fabulous college is simply transformative. Your lives will take on different paths, but you will always be Smithies. You are women of Smith. You are fiercely independent. You are wickedly smart, trailblazing, uber confident, and shockingly entitled. Like I told you, I live with one of you. I have no doubt you will continue this legacy and you will change the world, ladies. And we need you to, now more than ever. But in this moment, young ladies and Ada Comstocks, on this most auspicious of days, I want you to take a breath and reflect. Don't blow through this day, even if you're overwhelmed with family or maybe you're just a little bit drunk. Take a breath. You have successfully completed a journey at an exceptional institution of learning, and attention must be paid. I'll tell you, if I could do so much of my life over, I would have taken more moments like this to breathe. I would have spent more time focusing on what was right in front of me instead of recoiling from what is because it didn't look or feel exactly as I imagined it. I wouldn't have been forever trying to look around the corner to see what's next, what's next. I'd have taken in the beauty of this moment and greeted everything in my life with a big yes and, which leads me to what I'd like to talk to you about today. And today is all about you, but just a little bit about me. I was born a red-faced, screaming malcontent with sparkling blue eyes and chubby cheeks. Along with this extra helping of angst, I felt alien in a world and in my own body as I was sure I should have been a boy. I spent most of my youth deeply disappointed so much of the time because nothing ever looked or felt the way I imagined it should. I wanted to ride my bike and have my shirt off all summer. I wanted to play Little League baseball. I didn't want to wear a dress or curl my hair. And I was only happy with a clear blue sky, so you can imagine I'm thrilled today. But I lived in Illinois, where winter goes until May, and spring usually skips us all together. And if a day loomed cloudy, as it usually did in Illinois, my poor mother would fear my lashing out at the weather for having let me down. I took everything so personally. And I lived my life this way for about 27 years until my life stepped in with a huge lesson that I was just aware enough to notice. Now, at the time, I fancied myself a serious actress. Sketch comedy was not at all on my radar. In fact, it was a bit beneath me. And out of left field, I was hired for The Second City. And for those of you who don't know, The Second City is a Chicago institution. Yes, the improvisational breeding ground where the likes of Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Rachel Dratch, Nia Vardalos, along with some guys you might recognize, it's where they got their start. So there I was, a very tightly wound young woman, obsessed with process and rules. Fresh out of grad school, I was a classically trained pain in the ass, frankly. Engaging in improvisation, the creative equivalent of jumping off a cliff. An art where there are no rules, save one. And that rule is called yes and. Yes and is a vital and only rule of improvisation. It's simply never deny your fellow actor. You should be willing and able to accept whatever he throws at you. Use that as your jumping point, and then you heighten or explore it, as we like to call it. For instance, if I say to you, stick him up, and you say, well, that's not a gun, that's your finger, then we have nowhere to go. Or if I say, what a beautiful day it is today, and you say, no, it's not, we're in the middle of winter and it's snowing, we have nowhere to go from there. What if I were to say to you, come, my darling, let's go to bed. And you say, you're not my wife, and put your pants back on. Now where do we go? What do I do with that? The scene is dead in the water, and I'm literally caught with my pants down. Well, in order for our scene to go forward, we affirm what the other is saying, which is the yes part of our equation, and of course then we take it and we build it. That's the and part of the equation. In other words, in order for our lives to go forward, in order to engage fully in life, we need to be willing and able to accept what is right in front of us. Whatever it is, the good, the bad, the thrilling, the heartbreaking, every emotion, occurrence, event, person, place, or thing, and you will experience them all. That's the yes that I'm talking about. And the acceptance and the embrace of it with all your heart, doing something with it, that is the and. You accept influence, and then you exert influence. You can't make a cloudy day a sunny day, but you can embrace it and decide it's going to be a good day after all. I learned through contrast. I had one of my first significant experiences of no but when I was a freshman in high school. I auditioned for and was cast as the king in a one-act version of the Princess and the Pea story called The Ugly Duckling. This also began a lifelong pattern, a pattern of mine being cast in roles originally intended for men. I'd known I wanted to be an actress right out of the chute, so I was beside myself with excitement. At the audition, I got huge laughs. At the first rehearsal, I didn't get the laughs. I didn't get the love, and I quit. Devastated and so confused, I had no idea what I had just done. My 14-year-old self had no idea how to process it. I had walked up to that which I had ached to do for as long as I could remember. And I don't think I go too far when I say I came face to face with my destiny and I walked away from it. And you know why? Because it didn't feel like I imagined it should have felt. I didn't get the response, i.e. the big laugh, i.e. the big love, like I expected. There was now a real possibility of failure, and I quit. I was at this time unaware of the concept of yes and, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Now, as you travel through life in these many years ahead, I guarantee you that you will come upon countless times in which the last thing you're going to want to say is yes and. You will experience loss, heartache, the death of a loved one. You'll probably have to say goodbye to a lover. You'll experience rejection, maybe even have to deal with a bad diagnosis. You'll age. And the trick isn't to avoid these times or pretend they're not happening, because you can't. What you'll need to do is step up to them courageously and embrace them. Allow these experiences to permeate your being, and you weave them into the fabric of your life. They will not only strengthen you, but soften you, and you will open your heart to compassion. You will not be powerless in this either. If you embrace what's happening instead of denying it, you can make it your own. If life gives you lemons, grab it by the horns and drive. And yes, I just mixed three metaphors. Remember, I was a C student. As a younger person full of that anxiety and fear, in desperate pursuit of the keys to the kingdom, let me tell you what I did right. After I walked away from the ugly duckling my freshman year in high school, I would never let that fear take me over again, at least in the acting department. Not that I would never feel fear again, I just plowed through it. I grabbed at almost every opportunity. Maybe some I should have left at the wayside. Now, this is not to suggest that you should say yes and to every opportunity presented to you. And now I know what you're thinking, Jane, what about doing porno? To which I say, I am as surprised as you. I was never offered the opportunity. But would I have said yes to that? What if life gives us an opportunity to rob a bank, or a way to cheat on our taxes, or say it offers us several hours in a row of Life with the Kardashians, hours that we can never get back? To this I say, you can always trust that when you're coming from your highest self and from your heart, you'll know when to say yes and, or when to engage in the awesome power of no way. Now, this yes and way of life may not be the most natural thing for you. Smith College class of 2012, you are highly edumacated. You are so schooled in critical thinking, it almost hurts to look at you. The point of your education is to get you to poke holes in theories, to question, to be loath to accept anything at face value. Yes, and may not roll trippingly off your tongue and into your life. Your job is to honestly discern for yourself if you're saying no to an opportunity out of fear, or you're simply exercising good judgment. Now, for me, the hardest thing to get past was my need to plan. And you might understand this. I thought I had to have a plan or a strategy to get where I wanted to go. From my earliest moments, I knew I wanted to be a performer, an actress. I had a driving, anxiety-filled ambition. And growing up in this concrete jungle of a suburb just south of Chicago, I had no idea how to get there. Just show me the roadmap, I would beg, or just please, somebody, drop down from the heavens, take my hand and show me the way. I was ripe for a cult. So I took to rules and regulations and parameters, and in an effort to feel safe. While I waited for that clear plan of action, I would at least have the illusion of certainty in what has always felt to me to be an unsafe, unpredictable, and ever-changing world. Well, it turns out that I just had to be willing to take chances, look at what's right in front of me, and greet everything with a big yes and of course, then putting my heart into everything I do. My counsel to you, women of Smith College, let life surprise you. Don't have a plan. Plans are for wusses. You know, if my life went according to my plan, I would never have the life I have today. Now, you're obviously very good planners, or you wouldn't be here, so stop it. Stop it now. Don't deprive yourself of the exciting journey your life can be when you relinquish the need to have goals and a blueprint. They don't have goals. I guess I'm assuming all of you are as terrified as I was of life. So you know that when you feel sick to your stomach, it's a good thing. It signals opportunity for big growth ahead. Something's coming, something's good. So don't ignore the nausea. Step up to it. Now, at one point in my life, I had had a lean financial year. I was in a bunch of sketch comedy shows, and performing It's a Hard Knock Life from Annie in my pantyhose had lost its charm. I was stuck creatively and professionally, and I was in my late 30s, terrified that the parade had passed me by. The thought of writing a show by myself and for myself began to bubble up to the surface of my consciousness, and it made me very sick to my stomach. So with a big yes and a chutzpah I didn't even know I had, I created something where there had once been nothing. And this was for the very first time in my life. On my own nickel, I rented a theater for 8 consecutive Wednesdays. I wrote monologues for characters I had accessed from the deepest recesses of my psyche. And I created a 1-hour romp, which I performed literally stinking of fear, and at moments terrified and others simply elated. I was never more proud of myself, and it blew wide open the doors of my self-confidence. I emerged, in my humble opinion, an artist and a changed woman. I was now one poised for and deserving of the next level. And I met Christopher Guest shortly thereafter. I was cast in Best in Show. Thank you. I was 40 years old, but I was finally in the game, and I never could have planned this. Other momentous occasions where my dreams were about to come true and I wanted nothing more than to flee the scene, being offered the opportunity to host the Emmys, being asked to host Saturday Night Live, being asked to give the commencement speech at Smith College. When my inside screamed, no, I somehow got my mouth to say yes and. Now, as you know, life is not all about work, and the scariest places to say yes and are also the most rewarding. Relationship. Whoever you choose, ladies, your husband, your wife, your partner, will make you see more about yourself than any navel-gazing in solitude could ever reveal. And if the process isn't completely horrifying and frustrating, then you're just not doing it right. This will be your most vulnerable place. I put it off until I was almost 50. Your partner will inevitably see your soft underbelly. Shocking behavior you only read about will start to become your own. Your demon will rise up righteously to destroy your relationship in the guise of saving yourself from really seeing yourself. And your partner will say to you, with all the tenderness that situation allows, "What the fuck?" You'll want to break up with yourself. Don't be afraid of this horrible version of yourself. Face it, embrace it, coddle it, write it a poem. Maybe it just needs a hug. Shine the light of day on this part of you. Unclaimed and unacknowledged, it's got the power, and its darkest forces will have you enslaved. Accept its influence. Mine it for its gold. Yep, sometimes saying yes and is going to take everything you've got. But the payoff, trusting in love, is just incredible. The day after I met my wife, I met my daughter. And I don't really like kids. I'm a dog person. I couldn't have designed a better kid for me, though. She's witty. She's wise beyond her years. She has a huge heart and such patience with the frailties of human nature that I don't mean to make her sound like the Dalai Lama, but she is exceptional. Exceptional. One day you will meet your child. You may give birth to her. You may adopt her. She may just wander over, or maybe she'll follow you home. And we do meet them. Because they're born who they are. We don't make them. We welcome them. Nothing like knowing they're watching you will make you want to be your best self. Hayden was 7 when I met her. She's 10 now. In 8 years, we hope to be dropping her off right here. Children also remind us that life is constantly changing and moving ever forward. It is true. It doth not stop. I really came to know this as when I turned 40 years old. I am a late bloomer, folks. The big 4-0 was much anticipated for me. I resolved to have a party for myself and actually mark it, celebrate it, say yes and to it. So then I turned 40 years old one day. And you know what happened? I turned 41. And then you know what happened? I turned 42. And it just kept going on like that. The number just kept going up. And I was like, wait, somebody pressed the pause button. I just got used to being 40. And the time goes faster as you get older. And the world keeps changing. So my advice to you, live in the moment. Stay fluid. Roll with those changes. Life is just one big extended improvisation. Embrace the ever-changing and ever-evolving world with the best rule I've ever found, yes and. Accept the world for what it is and at the same time, make it your own. And I especially want you to make it your own. You are a particular variety of person, Ms. Smithy. You have spent the last 4 years in an environment that has encouraged you not just to be yourself, but to be your best self, your strongest self. You will have many opportunities to embrace what the world has for you, and I can't wait to see the ways in which you say and. Remember that Smith women entitlement that I spoke of earlier? I'm counting on yours to ferociously guard the women's health care rights our sisters won for us years ago. Right? And I know you women of Smith will greet that fight with a big yes and anyone who tries to take them away from you with a big no way. In conclusion, I know you'll never forget your experience here because you are a part of an incredible legacy. I'll be at a party with my wife, and she'll be meeting one person after another, and if by chance she happens upon a fellow Smithy, both their eyes light up. They already share a profound connection. They both had a unique and extraordinary experience, and today I become a Smithy. That same piece of paper that my wife and all of you toiled for years to get, I get for a handshake. And I am so proud to be one of you. Enjoy this day and thank you so much.